WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Thursday, January 21st, 2016. We have a great show in store for all of you out there today. Of course, we'll recap what took place last night at the Breslin Center as the Michigan State men's basketball team is certainly reeling right now, losing its third straight game at the hands of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Three straight now for Nebraska over the Michigan State Spartans. Very, very rare, to say the least, folks. We'll recap what took place last night. You get a chance to hear from Coach Tom Izzo, Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, and Matt Costello. So you don't want to miss that. We were in the house, of course, to cover that one and interview those respective players and Coach Izzo. Also, the Michigan men's basketball team, quite the contrary when it comes to them and their success on the basketball court last night as they get a win over Minnesota. We'll also chat about the tennis corruption cases and who exactly should be the NBA All-Star starters when, of course, that announcement is made tonight. And we'll also give you guys, as we do each and every Thursday afternoon here on the show, a preview of the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. Of course, I got the chance to chat with the associate director of Aim High Sports Complex in Diamonddale, Michigan, Jarrett Walker. So you don't want to miss that. And so much more. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. But you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. The number 11 Michigan State men's basketball team lost its third straight game last night, falling in the final seconds to Nebraska, 72-71 the final. The Cornhuskers, now 12-8, 4-3 in Big Ten play, have won now four straight, three on the road this year. Denzel Valentine's three-pointer with 5.2 seconds left cut the deficit to 1 point, but he couldn't make one more shot to give the Spartans the dub. Valentine, he finished with 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Deontay Davis had 13 points and 7 rebounds, I should say, for the Spartans, who made just 42% of their shots and let Nebraska make half of its attempts. The Spartans will host Maryland this Saturday. Discussion on the loss to Nebraska coming your way in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. The University of Michigan men's basketball team, they took care of business on Wednesday night, defeating the Minnesota Golden Gophers 74-69 inside of Chrysler Center. Michigan went ahead with 17:37 left to play in the first half and never lost the lead from that point forward. After trailing by as many as 15, Minnesota closed the deficit to as few as 3 on 2 occasions, but the Wolverines held on for the victory. Junior guard Zach Irvin recorded his 4th career double-double, finishing the game with 19 points and 11 boards. U of M returns to action on the road on Saturday for a matchup with, yes, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The game will be broadcast live on ESPN2. Tip time set for 2 p.m. According to Rivals.com, U of M has parted ways with another verbal commitment. Yeah, it's Winchester, Indiana athlete Keontae Ennis. He has now decommitted. Ennis, a 6'2", 190-pound, 3-star running back, was the first commitment from the Summer Swarm satellite camps last summer. Now, he attended the event in Indianapolis and committed soon afterward as the U of M coaches were pulling out of the parking lot, actually. He dominated this season, rushing for 2,393 yards and 35 TDs on 278 carries. He's certainly a stud. The Detroit Pistons rebounded nicely from the MLK Day loss to the Chicago Bulls, topping the Houston Rockets on the road last night. 123-114, the Pistons were able to win despite their franchise center Andre Drummond missing an NBA record 23 free throws. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Marcus Morris each scored 22 points. James Harden had his first triple-double of the year and 7th of his career with 33 points, a career-high 17 boards, and 14 assists. in the loss. Quite the stat line for Harden. The Pistons will visit New Orleans tonight. Watch out, Isaac. All right, goalie Brian Elliott made 29 saves, and the St. Louis Blues held on for a 2-1 win against the Detroit Red Wings at the Joe last night. Henrik Zetterberg scored for Detroit, which has 20 goals in its past 11 games and 16 in its past 8. Peter Mrazek, he made 18 saves. The Wings are back in action tomorrow when they hit the road to take on the Buffalo Sabres. New GM Bob Quinn has elected to fire several members of the strength and conditioning staff, including Jason Arepoff, who has been with the franchise 15 years and most recently served as the club's coordinator of physical development. Now, Ted Rath, Detroit's assistant strength coach, was also let go, according to the report. The Buffalo Bills made history yesterday by hiring the NFL's first female full-time coach, naming Catherine Smith as a special teams quality control coach. Smith served as the administrative assistant to head coach Rex Ryan this year after working for 12 years for the New York Jets, including the final six with Ryan as Jets head coach. Smith's hiring comes after the Arizona Cardinals hired Jen Welter to serve as their inside linebackers coach during training camp last summer. And last but not least, disturbing details of the high school hoop rape case that occurred out in Tennessee. Two Tennessee high school basketball coaches and their athletic director are expected to stand before a juvenile court judge in a Chattanooga courtroom this morning to answer charges that they failed to report the alleged rape and assault of a freshman player by three of his teammates. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, and I'll read your comments right here on the show. Here we go.
Lucky. I mean, I admire Coach Izzo on everything. This is not a patronization at all. Some people think when you win, you can do that. But I learned so much when I scout his teams about winning basketball that it helps our program. And I love playing them. And maybe that's it. Maybe we're just fired up to play them. But we're fired up usually to play. But I've got the utmost respect for these guys. And Dane Fife's a friend of mine. I can't explain the, victories or whatever, but I'm sure happy about it,
Listen, in my career, I've been through a hell of a lot more than this. I'm just disappointed that we would lose games cerebrally, especially some of the guys involved in it. Right now, I shouldn't be doing that, but we're just going to have to find a way to bounce back now, get a big game at home on Saturday.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. What you just heard was two sound bites from last night's post-game press conference after Nebraska topped the Michigan State men's basketball team in a heartbreaker for the Spartans. A 72-71 loss. Quite the game and an even better atmosphere at the Brez last night. I mean, that crowd was simply off the charts. Off the charts. Actually, Tom Izzo, he hinted last night that the Izzone was the loudest during an expanded stretch that he has ever witnessed during his coaching tenure here at Michigan State. So, unbelievable atmosphere. The crowd certainly caused some uneasy moments for Nebraska down the stretch of that game. A fun game to watch as a fan, but if you are a fan of the Spartans, a tough one to swallow. This is now the third straight loss for the Spartans, and actually the third straight win for Nebraska over Michigan State, and the second straight in enemy territory for Nebraska at the Breslin Center. Are you kidding me? There aren't too many coaches that can say that they've beaten Tom Izzo three straight games. Heck, let alone two straight games. But Tim Miles can add that to his already impressive resume. Now, MSU has had an interesting year, folks. They had the best start in school history at 13-0. Yeah, we all remember that. They were clicking on all cylinders, actually ranked as the number one men's college hoop team in the entire nation. And now, when looking at what is happening these recent weeks, Michigan State has the worst start to the Big Ten season at 3-4 since 2003. Talk about compare and contrast, right? They were clicking, folks, 13-0. Didn't look like anybody was going to beat this team. Had us looking at the schedule saying, when was their first loss going to occur? And now it's just really from a confidence standpoint, this team is just shot. Isaac Constance and myself, of course, we were at that game. Isaac shot the game for WKAR-TV on the court. And, of course, I actually had to miss the first half of that game. I was actually here at the WKAR-TV studios taping our latest Current Sports TV episode with Jarrett Walker of Aim High Sports. So after I finished the taping, I shot over to the Breslin to check out the second half. And a very entertaining game, but, you know, now it has a lot of questions out there now as far as what is going wrong for this team. Why has this team that once looked unbeatable, what's gone wrong in the last three contests? And for me, you know, there are a few areas that I like to nitpick really, really briefly. For me, when watching Michigan State, and especially last night, because it was very glaring, in your face, Michigan State doesn't have a consistent identity right now, folks. And it's something that we did not say to start the year because they did have one. They had a clear identity. And that was one, Denzel Valentine. It was pretty much unstoppable. And he has been relatively consistent. When you look at Denzel's stats across the board, I mean, he was fantastic last night and was really one of the very few shining lights for the Spartan team down the stretch of that game, even though he missed a game winner. But you take that out the equation, Denzel has been very solid this year, without a doubt. But at the same time, who else has helped Valentine out during these last three games? And that's been a big question mark for me. Going back to the consistent identity conversation here, MSU doesn't have a consistent identity. And what it was before this rough patch was that Michigan State was going to out-rebound you, and they were going to run. Get rebounds at the rim and push the basketball and score in transition. That's what the Spartans were known for to start the season. And they played solid defense, solid defensive team as well. And teams, you know, throughout this stretch, I mean, you look at the stretch of games, Iowa, Wisconsin, and now Nebraska, they have been able to relatively, you know, slow down Michigan State to a degree and force them to have a half-court offense. And at times, Michigan State has looked completely stagnant. Completely stagnant. Now, Iowa, that started really this whole stretch. Iowa, I believe, took MSU's confidence. That's what I believe. When looking at how the Hawkeyes, of course, they swept the season series against Michigan State, that was such a demoralizing loss for this team, and I still don't think that they have gotten over that. They've gotten over that loss. They don't have a defensive stopper. I mean, again, looking at this stretch, folks, there have been at least one or two players that have clearly stood out amongst the rest when it comes to offensive production. Iowa, it was Jarrett Utoff. He was absolutely fantastic. last night, I mean, Siobhan Shields. How good was he? I just want to talk about Siobhan Shields for a sec, because watching him last night, he was 12 of 20 for 28 points. Michigan State did not have a Spartan jersey in the building last night that could slow that man down. He did whatever he wanted. If he wanted to dribble drive, he dribble drove. If he wanted to get off his jump shot, he did that. How many times did he burn Michigan State with that floater of his? And he saw three guys who tried to slow him down. Of course, he was guarded by Denzel Valentine. Then we saw, you know, Tom Izzo tinker with the lineup and throw Javon Best at him. Heck, we even saw Deontay Davis try a hand at him. And, of course, he just went right by Davis. But Siobhan Shields was absolutely huge last night. And talk about that kid, battling through adversity. Talk about battling through adversity, because when he went down in that first half, it didn't look good. And it was a sort of an odd injury, because I thought it was an ankle at first. And then he gets up and he's hobbling and actually holding his back. And then I find out that it's actually a hip injury. Didn't know exactly what was wrong with Siobhan Shields, but nonetheless, the kid came back and he impacted that game in multiple ways. He was absolutely fantastic. But the thing right now is, defensively, Michigan State just doesn't have it. They don't have one guy that can slow down another team's superstar, another team's catalyst. And that's something that makes you nervous, because this Saturday, of course, Melo Trimble comes to town. Definitely a clear NBA draft lottery pick. I mean, the kid's incredible. Who is going to slow down Melo? Because Michigan State has shown no evidence, no positive vibes that they can slow down another team's superstar thus far. And I got to say this, folks. I really do believe that the Big Ten championship is now gone. I think it just went poof. Cemented poof last night. Because now, I mean, you look at Michigan State, you know, they sit at 3-4 in conference right now. I would say otherwise if there wasn't a clear dominant team in the Big Ten right now. But Iowa, I just don't see Iowa going through a rough patch and losing four games in the Big Ten schedule. I just don't see that happening. It is certainly Iowa's to lose, in my opinion. If Iowa wasn't clearly the dominant team in this conference, I may say otherwise, but right now, I don't see Michigan State rallying to pull off any kind of Big Ten championship. Also, another component that's hurting Michigan State, Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes, you know, going back to Michigan State's last win earlier this month against Penn State, I mean, Bryn Forbes, this is a guy who threw up 20 points in the first half alone against the Nittany Lions. Since then, since this patch of three straight losses, folks, he is gone. 3 of 15. Again, 3 of 15 from the three-point arc. 1 of 8 last night, finished with just 3 points. And he had great looks last night. It's not like Bryn Forbes is seeing a lot of, you know, hands in his faces and you know, every game. I mean, he had solid looks last night. Those shots that you saw Bryn Forbes throw up last night are normally shots that Bryn Forbes puts in the basket, period. And he hinted with that. We talked with Bryn Forbes. We talked with Matt McQuaid last night, Denzel Valentine, and Matt Costello. We'll start with Denzel Valentine. Here is what Denzel had to say. And from there, you'll hear Bryn Forbes and then Matt Costello. Here's what they had to say concerning the overall morale of the team, what allowed Nebraska to have the edge down the stretch in that game, and so much more. Here we go.
I don't know. You know, it's tough. I feel like I haven't went through this in a while. You know, it's tough right now. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, where our identity is at. But we need to just go back to the basics. You know, try to watch the Kansas game last night and figure out how we wanted to play this game. But we can't just turn it on and turn it off like that. You know, I think they just got confidence, you know, especially from losing to them my sophomore year. You know, they've won in here, so they probably realize they can win it again. So, you know, we keep giving teams confidence no matter who it is. So, you know, if we come out and play like that, you're just going to keep getting the same results.
Tom's emphasized playing smarter in the last couple of games, yet there still seems to be some mistakes late in the game. Does that surprise you a lot from a team that's played as much as you guys have?
Yeah, it's a bummer, you know, because, you know, that's what we preach, and, you know, we have done a better job in practice and things like that. But, yeah, we just got to really try to learn from it Saturday and try to move on.
So, as a leader, how do you go about making sure this team doesn't get too low?
You know, you just try to stick together, you know, try to encourage each other. But at the same time, you know, you got to learn from it, hold each other accountable, and hopefully we can bounce back Saturday.
And we got another one in 2 days, so I'd say focus on Maryland because they're a great team. You know, they got a big win last night, and they're rolling right now. So we gotta know that, and when they come in here, give our best effort.
Brendan, do you think this team right now is struggling to sort of find some consistent identity somewhere?
We had a stretch where we were doing really well. You know, we knew who we were. I think we still do, but. You know, some adversity. You never plan on losing 3 games in a row. You never want that. But, you know, we got outplayed the last 3 games. And I think next game we're going to do everything in our power not to get outplayed.
Mentally for you in a game like this, struggled a bit. What was it about Nebraska that allowed that struggle to happen?
I mean, those are shots I get. You know, shots I'd make on most nights. You know, they didn't fall. I don't know what much more to say about it. You know, those are shots. I shot it the same way I usually do, and they didn't fall.
Bryn, where is the morale of this team right now?
I think we're still focused on our goal. You know, this is just some adversity thrown our way. You know, some tough games, some tough losses. But, I mean, we got a great Maryland team coming in a couple of days. We have no time to think about this or think about the last 3 games.
Got to have a short memory, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's a long season.
We're struggling to find much of anything consistent right now. So we play well enough at times and then bonehead enough to lose it sometimes. So we just got to figure out how to win games again.
Yes, they certainly do, because right now trying to find anything consistent down the stretch of these games are really hurting Michigan State. And really the big thing for me, when we exited that locker room last night and talked to such a depleted group of young men, a part of that Spartan men's basketball team, right now, this, in order for this to change, when you look at, you know, those quotes, when you read into them and you look at the demeanor of losing a stretch of ball games like the way Michigan State has lost these last three, confidence seems iffy. Right now, it's not strong right now. This team's confidence is clearly shot. If Michigan State is going to pull out of this and pull out of it very soon, because they have Maryland walking into their house this Saturday, ESPN's College Game Day in the house, they are going to have to encourage and lean on one another. That is the only way confidence is going to be at a high when they take on the Maryland Terrapins this Saturday. Because you better believe that the media isn't going to give them any of that, because there's nothing to harp on really positive for this team when looking at this stretch of games. And the fans right now seem a bit shocked as well. I mean, no one saw this coming. No one saw this coming. So confidence is going to have to be bred internally for this team to come out with a high morale against the Terrapins. Isaac Constance, you were also in the house to witness that game last night. What were the glaring takeaways from it in your view?
Well, first off, credit where credit's due. You've got to credit Nebraska, the team as a whole, and Siobhan Shields. I mean, the kid, he went out injured in the first half. We saw him. I actually was walking down the tunnel at that time and saw him just being stretched out and examined by the trainer, and the kid was in such pain. It was a terrible-looking injury. And for him to return in the second half, we heard that he didn't have to go in the second half. None of his teammates will have blamed him or anything like that. But for him to go and go the way he did, that is just excellent. And the guy's a matchup nightmare, because with his size, but his ability to handle the ball and those nifty little floaters that he kept throwing up there, it's hard to determine whether to stick a guard or a four or five on him, and Michigan State just couldn't find the right answer. But for MSU, this is so worrying because this is a game that you tacked off. Okay, Wisconsin, experienced, good team. They've got Koenig, they've got Hayes, and those guys put up for Wisconsin. Iowa, they just seem to be your kryptonite this season, and those games were unfortunate enough to fall right next to each other for the Spartans. But Nebraska was a makeup game, if you will, for the Spartans. That was the game where they can get it all back, get their confidence back together. We saw many of the plays that Tom Izzo drew up work. Deontay Davis got great looks in the post throughout the game. Bryn Forbes had no trouble finding openings in the defense to hit his shot. He had trouble hitting the shot. And it's just these different matters of confidence, which is so worrying for the Spartans, because you can bet that they didn't overlook Nebraska. With two straight losses, they needed this bounce back. They needed a comeback. And they just didn't get it. And now they're facing a team which is much more potent, much more threatening in the Maryland Terrapins, led by Mello Tremble, who, I mean, that guy can just shoot the lights out. And if you had trouble guarding on the perimeter without Tum-Tum Nairn, then you're going to have real, real trouble and nightmares for days about Mello Tremble. Yeah, this guy's one of the best guards in the country.
And the thing when looking at that game is that, I mean, Maryland can be beaten, though. I mean, it took them overtime to beat Nebraska in their last game. But as far as defensively for Michigan State, they have not been able to slow down any of the catalysts in these last three matchups. I mean, you bring up Wisconsin again. You mentioned, you know, Bronson Koenig. He goes for 27. Nigel Hayes had 25, and Ethan Happ had 14. Then you look at, you know, what took place against Iowa. Anthony Clemens goes off. Jared Utoff goes off last night.
Peter Yacht, too.
Exactly. Javon Shields goes off last night for Nebraska. So, for Michigan State, they had defensively, and this is why Tum-Tum's absence hurts this team right now, because Tum-Tum is their best guard defender. I'm pretty sure if Tum-Tum was healthy, he would be guarding Mello Tremble. And you can rest assured that he will give, you know, Mello some problems. It wouldn't be a walk in the park for him. But
exactly.
Now with him gone, you rely on guys like Denzel Valentine, Matt McQuaid. They're okay defenders, but they don't get in your jersey like a Tum-Tum Nairn does. He doesn't, because Tum-Tum gets physical when he's guarding these guards. And, you know, a key moment for me, and this was also noted by Joe Rexroad, a great piece that he wrote about the game last night with the Detroit Free Press. He noted, with 11 minutes left in that game, and I noted this last night as well, the exact moment when I was watching that, I took a note of it in my notebook because I wanted to bring this up. During that 11-minute mark, Denzel Valentine made a very crucial mistake that really shifted the momentum of the game. He had a behind-the-back pass to Deontay Davis that was stolen by Javon Shields. Once that took place, on the ensuing possession for Nebraska, if you remember, Jack McVeish, he hit a three-pointer, and then after that, Nebraska went on a 13-0 run, and the momentum completely shift in favor of the Cornhuskers. It was a big error because it started to build up. You talk about confidence. That's been kind of like the key word for today's show. That confidence instantly built for Nebraska, and they went on to really just attack MSU. But again, defensively, what really stood out to me last night was how many times did we see Javon Shields just walk up in the paint and get an easy, uncontested lay-in? How many times did we see Nebraska in the fast break outrun Michigan State and get an easy layup on the other side? That's normally not what you see from a Spartan team. And let's also note that Michigan State did shoot itself in the foot last night. 12 of 21 from the free throw line. And they allowed, you know, Nebraska to shoot 50%. That cannot happen. That is always a recipe for disaster. If Michigan State hits their free throws, we're talking about a different outcome last night, Isaac.
Well, and the other problem I see with that careless play from Denzel and the missed free throws, all of these are mental mistakes which are easily fixable if you're playing confidently. If you are playing confidently, if you're playing assuredly, then you don't make those mistakes in the first place. And actually, when Zell dished that pass to Deontay Davis behind the back, really bad decision, the Spartans were playing well at that moment. They had finally started to sort of find their groove. And like you mentioned, that totally switched around the momentum. But then it comes back to the mental assets that these players possess, which is, can they bounce back defensively? It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to make that bad pass. But then you've got to come back, rebound on the defensive end, and you've got to stick tight to your man. And especially for a guy like Bryn Forbes. You and I talked about this after the Iowa game, in fact. But he's a guy who sparks everything with his shooting. If he's not shooting well, he's not playing well. I mean, for some guys, they provide so much to a team where they can have an off night scoring and still provide so much. For Bryn Forbes, that's not the case. And we see his defense in games where he's not shooting lights out. We see that really take a step down as well, and we saw that last night.
Yeah, and the thing for Forbes is, I mean, with him being a shooter in time, Izzo has noted even before the season started that Bryn Forbes is the best shooter that he's ever coached. When it comes to shooters, they're going to have slumps like this. It happens to all great shooters. Simple as that. Again, 3 of 15 from the three-point line in the last three games. Bryn Forbes is going to get out of this slump, but in order for him to do that, he can't overthink it. He just got to go out there and keep taking those shots. Eventually, they are going to fall. But the next question is, when Bryn isn't being that complimentary player to Denzel Valentine's offense, who else steps up? And it's been so inconsistent. Really, the only consistent guy out of that stretch that you can bring up, the other name you can bring up, is probably Matt Costello. But him going out with that ankle injury certainly hurt Michigan State, and he was trying to walk it off. I saw him running on the baseline, trying to walk that off. He eventually came back later on in that game. Tom Izzo talked about the injury last night after the game. Matt Costello did as well. He said that he's fine. He's okay. He's going to play Saturday. Whether or not that ankle will be fully healed, and for those who watched the game and saw the replay, that ankle injury, I mean, his ankle hit the floor. It was a pretty bad twist. He is certainly going to have to rest that thing and ice it until game time on Saturday. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will also chat about the Michigan men's basketball team as they get a dub over Minnesota last night. And we'll also give you our thoughts on who should be named. Not who, but who should be named as NBA All-Star starters. Again, that announcement will take place tonight on TNT. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
There's a phrase from decades ago that keeps coming up in this election season in Donald Trump's stump speeches.
The silent majority.
The silent majority.
The silent majority is back, and we're going to take the country back.
Who is the silent majority in 2016? We put the question to Trump supporters in Iowa later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
Breaking news.
Just take us back to when you first realized something was going on.
Correspondence on the ground.
You have on your roof a Gowri missile.
Interviews with people that matter.
He's going to win. He still thinks he's winning.
And analysis from experts.
What can we do that we're not now doing?
Making sense of the world in 60 minutes.
This is an incredibly complex, murky, difficult field.
NewsHour from the BBC.
This afternoon at 4 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, it is Thursday, and that means at 10:30 p.m. tonight, Current Sports TV hits the air. Check out my sit-down with Jarrett Walker, who is the assistant director at the Aim High Sports Complex. Jarrett is actually right here, from right here in Lansing. He actually went to Lansing Sexton High School, graduated in 2011. Actually, classmates with Bryn Forbes, Denzel Valentine, and Anthony Clemons. Very cool story there, but he also played football out at Siena Heights University, was a part of the very first ever football team at Siena Heights. A very intriguing interview. You don't want to miss that, and of course, we will play a snippet of that chat later on during today's radio show, so you don't want to miss that. I want to bring up really briefly here the Michigan men's basketball team because they are hitting a bit of a groove right now. They have won two of their last three games. They beat Maryland, of course, in thrilling fashion on January 12th, 70-67, the final there. They fell to Iowa, But who isn't these days, right? 82-71. And last night, they beat Minnesota at home 74-69. And very interesting how Michigan was able to pull off this game because it was unlike their other wins this year. Michigan has shot the ball so well this season. But last night, the Wolverines shot just 36.5% from the field. The lowest total by far this season at home. So right now, this team sits at 4-2 in the Big Ten, 14-5 overall. The Golden Gophers really did a great job in their switching defense. You could see that in their highlights. I just caught the highlights. But, you know, overall, looking at those highlights, Minnesota, came up with a very interesting defensive scheme against Michigan that involved a lot of movement and a lot of switches, I should say, off picks and pick and rolls. And for Michigan, though, you look at those numbers. I mean, 39.5%, from the field, 36.5% from the field, excuse me. How do you combat that? And they did it by attacking the paint and going to the line and shooting free throws. Michigan last night, they were 16 of 19 in the second half at the free throw line. 10 of 11 by Derek Walton Jr. alone, and 6 of 8 from Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. Very impressive stuff. And when we're starting to see, Zach Irvin, who had 19 points and 11 boards, that came before the half, as he had 15 and 7 at the break. But I love this compliment between Zach Irvin and Derek Walton Jr., because they really do complement one another's games. I mean, and from a scoring perspective, I mean, these are guys that can certainly put up a lot of buckets in bunches as well. Very, very impressive what John Beilein and this squad is putting together right now. Now, of course, they will move on to take on the team that beat Michigan State last night. They will hit the road to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers this Saturday at 2 p.m. But it seems as though that this team is, you talk about on the contrary, Michigan State searching for an identity. Michigan seems to be finding theirs right now, Isaac.
Yeah, not a pretty win whatsoever for the Wolverines, but the fact is they got the win when they weren't shooting well, and that's a totally new headline for this team, because this team heading into the game was, I think, fourth in three-point field goals made. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, and for them to shoot 29% last night and still find a way to eke it out. Now, first things first, Minnesota's no good. Minnesota is not a great basketball team. They're really not. They don't have any star power whatsoever. They're beginning to get a little more accustomed and into the groove. But at the same time, Michigan should have won this game. But even so, good performance by Michigan, because sometimes you will just have those games where you're off, but all that matters is that extra one. Add one into the dub column. And that's what they did last night. And you're exactly right. It's exactly contrary to what the Spartans are currently doing. Because in the past three games, Michigan State has not played bad in most of those. But they've got a loss in all three. Michigan, however, has found a way to win even when they're not playing the best they can. And you're right. That's credit to Zach Irvin and Derek Walton Jr. They've been such great compliments and such great teammates and partners for each other, and just scoring and that perimeter play, getting a few drives and kicks and things like that. And that's what's keeping Michigan alive right now and has them playing their best basketball of all season.
Yeah, and, looking at, again, Minnesota, they're a bad team. But Michigan has been – they've beaten Maryland. They were very competitive against Iowa. This is a solid team that I do believe can beat anybody in the Big Ten Conference. They seem to be hitting its stride, certainly at the right time as well. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in if you want to be a part of the show. Want to talk about this before you give you guys a preview of tonight's current sports TV sit-down with Jarrett Walker of Aim High Sports Complex. Tonight is the night, folks. The final results of who exactly will be named as the NBA's All-Star starters for the NBA's All-Star game next month will be announced tonight on TNT. Now, when looking at the fan vote right now, in the Eastern Conference, if the voting was to end right now at 1:39 p.m., in the East, you would have Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony all starting. In the West, you would have Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant, who currently leads all vote getters, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green starting. Now, I do have a few quarrels and quandaries with that vote. Now, of course, we all know when it comes to the starters, it's more so a popularity contest. It's who the fans want to see. It's who they love. And that's why it's no surprise that Kobe Bryant, who, when looking at his play on the court and looking at his numbers, he shouldn't be an all-star starter. That's why Kobe is being voted and will be voted as an all-star starter when it's said and done tonight. Who should be on that list? I'm going to give you my brief list here, Isaac. I really like, in the Eastern Conference, Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler. Those two have been so good, and they should be the starting backcourt for the All-Star game next month. Lowry right now, looking at the Raptors, the number two seed, he's averaging a career high 21 points per game, 6.4 assists per game, and 5.1 rebounds per game while posting a career best 23.2 player efficiency rating and a plus 7.2 real plus minus, both of which lead the East guard group. Kyle Lowry has been so good this season. As for Butler, the 2015 Most Improved Player has taken his game to really new heights this season. He's averaging a career high 22.4, 5 rebounds per game, 4.4 assists per game, while leading the league by averaging 38.2 minutes per game. He's been so impressive. We saw him throw up a 50-point game not too long ago. As for the front court, got to go with LeBron James. He's, I think Steph Curry is kind of, reaching for that reign as the NBA's best player. But LeBron James still is so consistent, so good. Paul George has come back with the Pacers with a vengeance. And I really like Paul Millsap of the Hawks as well. I think he may deserve a spot on that as well. What do you think, Isaac?
So you're going with Paul Millsap over the hometown dude?
I am. But I think that when you look at what Andre has done, you could go either way with that.
That's the one pick that I was debating too. And as far as the Eastern Conference goes, I think it's pretty clear that the front court should have both Paul George and LeBron James. Both have been outstanding this season. I mean, LeBron James, if you ask me, still the best player in basketball. Paul George, he's just dropped huge game after huge games and is single-handedly keeping the Pacers alive, competent, and doing pretty well in the Eastern Conference. So, and then the backcourt, Kyle Lowry is having a career season. And compared to some of the other Eastern Conference point guards, they've just taken a little bit of a drop-off, such as John Wall. I expected a little bit more from him this season. So
I think
Kyle Lowry's the easy choice there. And then Jimmy Butler, I mean, a lockdown defender, one of the best at his position, and a scorer. I'm going to go Andre Drummond, though. And maybe this is me just taking the brownie points from the hometown fans, but Andre Drummond is averaging more rebounds per game than anybody since Ben Wallace in 2002 and 2003. If he finished with this tally, and that's outstanding. Now, I think there's only one reason you can debate this, and it's a big reason. 23 missed free throws last night, an NBA record. The guy shot last night 34%. And you want to know the sad thing? That's not even an off night for him.
It's not.
36% from the line.
Right.
And when you shoot that much or that low and that many free throws, it's hard to put you in an all-star game. So I still am, despite that. The one rant I do have to go is Kyrie Irving is going to be an all-star starter more than likely. A guy who has barely played this season.
Right.
And the guy who I believe to be the most overrated player in the NBA. Can't play defense well. He's a terrible passer. Gets zero assists a game multiple times on a team with Kevin Love and LeBron James. And the only stat I'm going to bring up for that is Kevin Love, since Kyrie's return, is averaging 12.7 points per game. This is a team in some ways that's better without Kyrie. They need a distributor at the point guard.
I don't know about that. Okay, pump the brakes there. I don't know if they're better without Kyrie Irving. I think he, if anything, and I think this is a big component, he takes a lot of the pressure off LeBron James to go out there and have to score 30 a night because they were missing a score to complement LeBron James in lieu of Kyrie's absence. And LeBron James, we just saw him get exhausted. I mean, he's still among the league leaders when it comes to minutes per game. I like Kyrie from a scoring perspective. Do I think that he needs to get others involved? That's the thing I've always said about Kyrie Irving. Is he a pure point guard? No. he's in a point guard's body, but he's really a shooting guard. You know
what
I mean?
I'm with you there. If you put him at shooting guard, that I think problem solved.
Right.
But he's not playing shooting guard, and he needs to learn to dish the ball to get others involved.
He's not an all-star starter. I definitely agree with you on that.
No, he's not. He shouldn't be an all-star either just because he hasn't played enough games.
I agree. I definitely agree with you on that. And going back to Andre Drummond and his free throw woes, I mean, look at Shaq, though. I mean, look at all big men throughout the history of the NBA. You know, big men who have historically dominated at that position. Not many of them have been lights-out free throw shooters. So I think in the overall realm and perception of things, I think Andre Drummond, despite his free throw woes, I think that does little to put an etch on his legacy when he's set and done. Again, he's very, very young. He's got many more years to put on those NBA tires of his. But at the same time, when you look back, and if he does continue to shoot bad at the free throw line, I think it'll be kind of a thing that's looked at and says, hey, okay, but there's been many big men who have been great at this game that have shot poorly at the free throw line. So I think you can make an argument for Paul Millsap because he's had a great year, but I do at the end of the day I could see Andre Drummond as an all-star starter, and I could see him getting that ring.
Can't go wrong either way.
No, you can't go wrong either way. Western Conference, I'm going with Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Don't need to really elaborate on that. I mean, Steph Curry has been Steph Curry this year. He's been more than Steph Curry in the past this year because he's taken his game to another level, folks. I mean, historic levels. Russell Westbrook, I mean, my goodness. I mean, Russ is just simply, in my opinion, next to Steph Curry, as the second most entertaining player in the NBA. I love watching Russ play because he's just a lightning bolt. I mean, he can shoot, he can drive, he plays with emotion, you know, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I absolutely love Russell Westbrook, and I think he deserves that spot, and I think the fans agree with that. Right now, they do have Russ as that guy. Now, when it comes to the front court, Draymond Green deserves to be on that team, I think. Kawhi Leonard deserves to be on that team, I think, and Kawhi has proven himself as an NBA solidified NBA all-star. Superstar, I should say. And I'm going with KD. I'm going with KD in that front court. What do you think, guys?
Oh, I couldn't agree anymore. I have 5 of 5 down as well. And the thing is, Steph Curry, you mentioned it, record-breaking season. And the defensive pressure, the intensified pressure that he has faced this year makes it all the more amazing. The fact that he's still able to get shots off and shoot in the top 5 in the NBA for 3-point percentage. Then you've got Russell Westbrook. You mentioned it. The guy's a fireball. He just goes straight to the rim with no regard for his own health and safety. And I love seeing it because he reminds me of Derrick Rose if he would not have been hurt. So I think that is absolutely outstanding. Also, fun fact, last night, Derrick Rose versus Steph Curry was the first time in NBA history that two point guards who have both won MVPs played each other. The first time.
Oh, really? That's really the first time that's ever happened?
Well, the point guard with the most MVPs in NBA history is Magic Johnson and Steve Nash. Those are the two, because both have 2 apiece, I believe. And, I mean, their point guards just don't win that many MVPs, simple as that. So
that's very true.
It's
Man.
Just interesting just statistic there that I thought I'd throw in.
I didn't know that at all. Wow.
Oh, yeah. In the front court, though, I think Draymond Green, more so than ever, you can see how important, how vital he is to this team's success. When he went out injured, Kawhi Leonard has upped his 3-point percentage by over 13%. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
He's been terrific this year, and he's really added a little bit of a scoring boost to his team and the Spurs, who quietly are having one of the best seasons in NBA history as well.
Yeah, they are.
And then lastly, I'll go with Kevin Durant, too. The Slim Reaper's return, just as you like him, and just slicing and dicing defenders and delivering unstoppable shots over their peak.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, we both agree, and I think we will see, the fan vote again. It's just a popularity contest, and it's the NBA All-Star Game. It's all about fun at the end of the day. So, again, you know, right now, as far as the fans' perspective goes, in the East, they had Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony. In the West, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bean Bryant. This will be his final All-Star Game. That's going to be a sad day indeed. Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We do have a caller right now on line one, John from Jackson, that wants to talk about Andre Drummond's free throw woes. How you doing, John? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I don't know who's coaching him, but I played a little basketball in my lifetime, and I was a pretty good free throw shooter. And my coach has always told me, you have to bend your knees.
Yeah.
He is stiff as a board up there. He never shows any flexibility in his legs. and that softens your shot. Otherwise, you're just shooting bricks. Some bricks go in, most of them don't.
Right. It's just like all torso with Drummond, isn't it? I never even thought about that. But, yeah, I mean, even when Shaq, during his NBA career, John, even when he was going through that phase where he couldn't hit free throws, which lasted his entire career, we did see him sort of modify his shot at the free throw line, and we saw him bend his knees more, and he would hit a few of those, especially in crunch time as well.
Mm-hmm. And that just relaxes you more, and he just is so stiff when he's up there. I mean, he looks like he's calm, you know, in his face and everything, but, man, you have to bend your knees and soften your shot.
Right. Very, very true.
You. And you never see him doing that.
No, never.
At least try it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Because every time you see Andre, I didn't even peep that. I mean, yeah, it is all torso. It's just all upper body. So we'll have to relay that tip to him, John.
Now, one of the better big guys was Bill Laimbeer. He was a great free throw shooter.
Right, he was.
He shot about 85%, I bet.
Right, yeah, I have to look that up. We'll get that stat for you before we get off the air.
Shaq, same way. He was stiff as a board up there, never bent his knees, just kind of flung it off his wrist and hoped it went in. So, but it's nice to see that the Pistons are relevant again. For sure, I watch, you know, I love the Pistons. I don't watch a lot of NBA because I don't like it that well, but I do love to watch the Pistons.
Right.
And it's nice. I don't know how far they're going to go, but you know that they're relative again and they can win. They can beat anybody right now.
Right.
And you couldn't say that last year in the past 5 years. So it's nice to see. Thank you.
It definitely is. Hey, John, great call. Appreciate that, my man. Again, folks, if you want to be a part of the show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two. We've got Jim from Lansing. Jim, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Okay. I was just I go way back. Will Chamberlain was the classic guy who struggled with free throws all of his life. He had got coaching and adapted about all kinds of different styles and things like that. It never struggled with being able to shoot free throws all his life. I don't know whether you remember you've seen any references to that or not. But
I have, definitely. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
And he modified his shot. You know, when looking at Wilt, have you seen the old school footage of Wilt Chamberlain shooting free throws? He did you never see this. And thank you for the call, Jim. You know, talking about Wilt's free throw shooting problems and how he modified his shot, he tried the underhand technique. We used to call it back. I'm from the D, the west side of Detroit. We call it the granny shot. And many people call it the granny shot because it looks like you're taking a – you know, it looks like you're struggling to get up from a seat almost when you come up with it.
But you've got back problems.
Right, like you got back problems and you grab the ball from the bottom or from the two sides of it and you bend down real low and you just underhand the ball into the rim. And you saw a lot of players who were struggling with free throws. If it wasn't working with their original shot, they would try that underhand technique. Jerry West was another guy who would try it. And it worked for him.
Well, you saw one of the best five free throw shooters of all time, Rick Barry,
right,
use that to his advantage. He was so accurate with the granny style, and he was so accurate overhead on a jump shot. But, no, I remember you and I talked about this, the sage advice and words of wisdom from grandfathers about basketball. And my grandfather used to tell me how Wilt Chamberlain would step back sometimes as far as the three-point line during his free throws because he thought that would help him. Of course, it's totally illogical. But Wilt Chamberlain, like Jim said, we've had troubles throughout our life if you're a big man watching big men shoot free throws. It's not easy. There's something about the build.
Yeah, there's something about it because, you know, you have those big hands. It's like, you know, us trying to shoot, like an orange in a basket. I mean, it's just – it's tough for him. It definitely is tough. Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Again, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And looking at Bill Laimbeer's career free throw percentage, going back to John's question, and yeah, he pretty much nailed it. He was, I think John said 85%. He was very close, 83%, from the free throw line for Bill Laimbeer's career. His lowest percentage that he shot was when he first entered the league, and he steadily got better. So back in 80 and 81, He shot 76% from the free throw line, and he's never shot below that. So he got better throughout his career. He was actually even an 89% free throw shooter back during the 1992-93 season. Very impressive stuff. I think Bill Laimbeer may need to give Andre Drummond a call.
Yeah, well, you saw Mark Price. The benefit of shooting coaches in the NBA is so underrated. You see Mark Price in Charlotte really help out Michael Kidd-Gilchrist with his jump shot. So you bring in a good shooting coach, and this can be rectified. This can be fixed. At the same time, though, hasn't worked for DeAndre Jordan. And you know that he spent countless hours over the summer, over the past few years, trying to work with that. However, a counterexample is Blake Griffin. His second year in the NBA, he only shot 52% from the line. Now he's up to 72%. So it's something that you can fix, but it all depends on the person. And what's worrisome about Andre Drummond is none of those free throws look good.
Mm-mm.
Even the makes. Exactly. You have to just kind of, you know, look away in disgust when he shoots those, because you don't want your kids seeing that.
Right, and the thing is, of course, watching the Hack-a-Shaq, that's the original name for it, technique implemented on Andre Drummond. I mean, it was very impressive to see how that technique was, of course, in full session last night against Andre Drummond, but the Pistons were still able to pull out that dub over the Houston Rockets. I mean, yeah, they hacked Andre Drummond. He went to the line, and he missed an NBA record 23 free throws, but they still found a way to win, and a lot of that has to do with the guard play from the Pistons last night. KCP was simply outstanding, and that's in light of James Harden going for his first triple-double of the year. I wish I would have caught that game, the full extent of it, because I'm very interested to see how that game played out during the waning moments of that stretch. But at the same time, a dub is a dub, and the Pistons, again, they get another win. I think this is a playoff team. All right, well, 4 minutes left in the show. We're going to have to save that Jarrett Walker preview for you guys tomorrow. Again, if you want to check it out, Current Sports TV airs tonight, 10:30 p.m. Jarrett Walker, he is the assistant director at the Aim High Sports Complex. Brief thoughts, Isaac, again, on this whole tennis corruption case, and I feel like we're always saying brief thoughts on it because we always leave it for the last session of the show. But it is certainly gaining steam right now, and I'm pretty sure that ESPN's Outside the Lines are going to have a full report on it. I'm pretty sure they have the reporters on it right now. But again, you know, this whole tennis match fixing situation in which the Tennis Integrity Unit, or the TIU, have found evidence that over, you know, about 16 players ranked in the top 50 have been repeatedly flagged with the TIU over suspicions that they have thrown matches. Very interesting discussion, because I not only think that this discussion holds true and form within the sport of tennis, but how many times have we seen corruption cases in the world of baseball or even in the world of basketball? Tim Donaghy was found guilty of fixing and calling and refereeing NBA games in favor of another team due to betting. We've seen it in multiple sports. How bad do you think this is going to hurt the game of tennis?
You know, I hope not that badly. And tennis is coming off such a great year, too. You see Serena Williams really elevate the popularity of the game so much. But this is definitely a blemish on its resume, on its CV, because tennis, I mean, it's a one-on-one game. So if you throw a game, you're going to lose a game. And there's a lot of money riding on these tournaments, a lot of different people competing. So the fact that the integrity was very hurt and impugned in this way, it's unfortunate. And I think it'll take a little bit of a rebound. And once again, something that's more or less like, why did it take so long just with FIFA, where you've got all these cases, all of this evidence, and it takes a little while for everybody to put it together and actually report on it?
Yeah, I want to really see what names are exactly involved in this case, because if there are some big names that are possibly involved, oh my goodness, it's going to be a storm in the world of tennis. And really bad timing, seeing as though the Australian Open is going on as we speak. Really, really bad time for this story to break. All right, folks, we will be back at it tomorrow with a special feature for you. The Detroit Tigers Winter Caravan is in town right now. Isaac and myself, we're actually going to head over and interview a few Detroit Tigers players. You don't want to miss that feature. Well, also, since we didn't get to it today, if you missed tonight's Current Sports TV episode, we will play that interview with Jarrett Walker on tomorrow's show. Hey, folks, much thanks for you guys out there listening. Same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR, AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.